Do you ever have a Charlie Brown day? You remember Charlie Brown, right? We may have to educate our younger folks. They may have never heard of Charlie Brown. Or Snoopy, or Linus, or Lucy. What about that? And the list goes on. But Charlie Brown at times got a little down on himself. Did you ever notice that as you read the Peanuts column? Charlie Brown would do some of his deep, and I guess maybe even we could say dark level introspective thinking, and think at the end of the day, poor, pitiful me, Charlie Brown. He wouldn't say it in those exact words, but he would lament. He would wonder, what is he going to do? He would be dejected and downtrodden. And one day the clip captured his emotions. Not so much in what Charlie Brown had said, but how Lucy responded. Lucy called it how it was, right? Lucy said, "Down again, Charlie Brown." And he responded, "Yeah, how'd you know?" As if his expression, his actions, didn't let everyone know. She said, "You know what your problem is, Charlie Brown?" He said, "No." He wanted to understand more about himself and get to the bottom of the answer. She said, "The problem with you, Charlie Brown, is you are you. You're the problem," Lucy said. Charlie said, "Well, how do I fix it?" And she said, "Well, I don't present myself as one to give answers. I just merely point out what's wrong." She couldn't offer the antidote. She just presented the symptoms. Well, you know, sometimes we encounter Lucy's as well in our world, don't we? Those who are quick to point out where we've messed up, where we're a little bit too much Charlie Brown. They're quick to offer the criticism and our brokenness and what we've done wrong without answers are guidings to help us be restored. And we find ourselves, yes, in Pity City, in the land of peanuts, with Charlie Brown. But friends of faith, that's not the message of the God we serve. In our passage, this very familiar text to many of us who've grown up or been nurtured in the Christian faith, this passage that holds within it these words of John 3:16. There's a beautiful description. Jesus says, though, prior to that, where he says, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born again." You see, what I receive in those words from Jesus is a reminder that we all are a little like Charlie Brown at times, in need of restoration. Because Jesus makes it pretty clear. He doesn't say some folks need to be born again. He says everyone needs to be born again, because in ourself, we, like Charlie Brown, do not know how to fix the problem in us. Lucy's not going to help us. We're wandering alone in our brokenness, hungering to be restored, and not knowing how to do it. But the God of life sent a Savior to the world, understanding that we all, none of us, can receive holiness without God's grace. That's the promise of the Savior. That's the scripture that inspired what many theologians before me have called John 3:16, the gospel. In miniature, The summation of our faith, that all of us fall short of glory and all of us can be restored through the life-giving love of our Lord. That's the promise. That's the hope. That's the grace of our God. Jesus says in this scripture, this John 3:16 passage, those familiar words, but you know, I'm also grateful for the verse right after John 3:16. The next verse is often overlooked. But it says to us, the Lord does, for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Friends, I find those to be words of life. Because the world is often full of condemnation. The world is often full of Lucys that want to point out our every brokenness and our every failure. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good about being Lucy to myself. Sometimes our greatest critic is public enemy number one, numero uno, me, myself, the one in the mirror. But God says, the Savior that I sent didn't come to condemn, but to deliver us from condemnation. Hear those words, church. Receive that affirmation and know the joy of walking with the Lord of life. You see, we hear that text, that John 3:16, that's so often interpreted, eternal life, and we think of living forever or maybe just existing forever. And I got to tell you, that doesn't get me real excited. But there's something more there. In those words, when we examine the Greek, it's not just a call to keep on going on in existence. That word eternal, more graphically interpreted, is to say a whole and full life that never ends. Not a dreary existence, but our best life in our Savior. And those words of inspiration and hope and glory and truth. Tomorrow in the life of the Christian church, we'll celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Now, St. Patrick's Day, in a lot of sense, has taken on a celebration of its own, just as a day for celebrating. Kind of like Mardi Gras in some cultures, it gets lost what you're celebrating, but it's just, we celebrate that we're celebrating. And let's have a large time doing it. And to be honest, it's so foreign, I had to go back and do a little research to remind myself this week what St. Patrick's Day is all about. Well, it began, the institution of the feast, as a celebration of the beginning of the Christian church in Ireland. Now, isn't that appropriate? A reminder from our brothers and sisters of the faith that it was instituted by the forebearers of our faith, that this is so important, that Christianity came to a people, that we need to mark this day, we need to circle it on the calendar, we need to celebrate because lives have been changed forever. That's the excitement of our faith. A day of celebration. A feast for all to observe. That's what I want in my faith. I want something that makes me inspired and encouraged to live life and receive the fullest blessing that God offers to us as His people. But you know, St. Patrick has an interesting story. He was born into a life of privilege. He was born as the son of a deacon, the grandson of a priest in the 4th century church, one of the elite in his culture and in his area. But at the age of 16, Patrick was kidnapped, taken into bondage over in Ireland, where he was a slave, and he had to serve others. And the story goes that one night, as Patrick lay sleeping, he felt the restlessness in a dream that God was speaking to him that it was time to leave. And it tells us that Patrick received instruction of how to leave and where to go to return home, and that's what he did. He made his escape. But the funny thing is that several years later, Patrick returned to Ireland. No longer as a slave or one held in bondage, but now as a bishop in the church to institute the life-giving faith to the same people that had hurt him, that had condemned him, that had offered him broken. See, that's true transformation. When we get beyond ourselves and live out the love we've experienced for the world around us and also the offender around us. Friends, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for me to get from that point A to that point B. I don't have that level of forgiveness that Patrick had. I want a little vengeance. I want a little payback. But then I hear in our scripture, and I'm reminded, that although I don't have it, God does. You see, that same gift that we call out to in salvation, that same appeal where Jesus proclaims that those who are born again have life, we have about as much to do with our rebirth as we did our first birth, right? It's a gift. What if we approach our daily walk, not just our salvific experience, how about that fancy word, not just the point where we receive the saving grace of God, but our daily approach as a surrender of saying, God, I don't have Patrick's forgiveness. I don't have that kind of love. I don't have that kind of wisdom to approach life, but Your power, Your grace, Your rebirth in me can help me be what I'm not. It's a cry out of surrender for God's strength in us. Some of you asked me, or some of the choir members did this morning, said, how was your trip to Florida? I didn't actually make it to Florida. We started in that direction. We ended up at Gulf Shores, Alabama. That's about as close as you can get, though, right? But we had a nice week of sun and a little bit of sand, not too much sand, and that was all good for Dad. Took in some baseball. And as we were vacationing and enjoying spring break, I thought about the last trip I'd made to Florida. We were in this condominium, timeshare type complex, where they had this huge lake between the various buildings on the resort. And I noticed one day there was a herd of ducks. That's a little bit bigger than a flock, you know it? Anyway, there was a lot of ducks on this pond. And I noticed this one poor duck in particular who was having a rough go at it. Seemed like two or three others were ganging up on this guy. They were chasing him around, pecking him in the back of the head, roughing him up, jumping on top of him, pulling out a few feathers as they went along. And the old guy, he'd swim off for a little while, and then, you know what, he'd come right back. And it would continue again. The condemnation. The attacks. The outcast was being punished. I thought about that duck, and I came to a conclusion that one or two things were going to have to happen in the life of that duck. Either that community would eventually accept him and quit condemning him and welcome him into their what? Their herd. Or he would leave. One or two things had to happen because, friends, I don't care how strong of a fortitude you are as a duck or as a person of faith, you can't live in war and conflict and condemnation forever. Sometime, some point, somewhere along the way, there has to be restoration. You know, one of the beauties of our scripture today is that God doesn't distinguish between the Charlie Browns or the Patricks among us. What I mean is the scripture doesn't say, hey, if you brought it upon yourself like Charlie Brown, or if you were a victim of a broken world like Patrick, whatever the cause of your bondage, the answer and the antidote is the same. Jesus the Christ, the Savior of us all. How about that, church family? The words of life are these. The Son did not come into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may have life more abundantly in Him. Thanks be to God and our Savior. Amen.